Welcome to another Aquila Group of Funds podcast. This is your host, Matthew DiMaggio. Today we are speaking with Jeff Hanna, Portfolio Manager of Aquila Narragansett Tax-Free Income Fund. Thank you for joining us today, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get started. I want to briefly get your thoughts on a few topics from 2019 and then talk about the coming year. So since 2016, we have seen periods where muni investors have stayed in the sidelines, notably from concern over tax reform and duration risk back when the Fed was increasing rates. But 2019 has turned out to be a pretty monumental year for investor demand for the asset class. What would you say contributed to what will likely be record inflows in a year where equity markets have also done so well?
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, you had fewer tax-saving opportunities from the change in tax reform, so it really made municipal bonds attractive. When you had the caps on a number of deductions, and when you look at it, municipal bonds still are really the only place to go, the only place left, if you will, to find truly tax-free income. And I think folks beginning at 2019, kind of the March-April timeframe, when they were filing their 2018 returns, they also saw this opportunity and started to move into the asset class a little bit more.
Great insight there, Jeff. Let's touch on issuance. The end of November, national municipal issuance was up 18% year over year, and many of this year's deals were actually oversubscribed. Rhode Island certainly experienced the same trend with a 43% increase in issuance for the same time period. Has the fund benefited from any tax-exempt issues, and have you seen an increase in taxable issuance?
Yeah, I mean, the fund has benefited from that. We've been able to diversify a little bit more, and certainly we've seen taxable issuance. Actually, taxable issuance is about just under 28% of the total issuance so far this year. And really, it's the purpose of the issue that drives the taxability of the issue. But demand for fixed income from pension funds, from alternative opportunities, alternative to corporate bonds, et cetera, you have that high credit quality. And saw spreads, a little bit wider, certainly good opportunity for investors to get in. And I think that's what's also drawn the taxability and the benefit of investing in taxable bonds from the standpoint of your kind of your non-traditional investors, not your individuals, but more pension funds and corporations.
Here's some interesting news. Rhode Island's treasurer recently launched a campaign targeting retail investors with ads that were reminiscent of World War II promotions. And can you give us some insight on the campaign and how you expect local promotion to impact the Rhode Island muni markets?
Yeah, well, it's really the same theme as this fund has held since its inception in 1992. It's basically local supporter projects where folks are who live here, work here, are really helping provide the funds for roads, bridges, communities, projects, and the like. So I think that's very important. And again, I think it's a good marketing campaign from the general treasurer's standpoint. And really, I think just trying to spur that local kind of retail support, if you will, for Rhode Island issued bonds. Overall, I think, initially it'll certainly give folks some incentive to purchase some of these bonds. But ultimately, I think it's, somewhat minimal impact due to the, the pricing and the way that, municipal bonds typically are priced with higher coupons, higher premiums, and that may actually force some smaller investors, retail-type investors, away from these markets.
So rates are always a popular topic. The Fed reversed course this year and reduced the Fed funds target rate by a total of 75 basis points. And some market analysts have said that rate markets have started to price in recessionary conditions. Do you agree with that assessment? And would you say that credit markets have as well?
I don't think entirely that's the case. I mean, the Fed really is kind of staying the course. Its data dependency, which it has been for the last three Fed governors, Fed chair persons. And I think from that standpoint, they're going to wait and see what the data has to say. So more recently, we've actually seen interest rates rising a little bit. We've seen a little bit of steepening of the yield curve. So from that standpoint, we really haven't seen, you know, spread widening where credit starts to deteriorate. And recent economic information has been positive. And, you know, from this standpoint, everything seems to be kind of going along as we have had that previously.
There have been several global headlines that have created a fair degree of uncertainty for both the U.S. economy and the outlook for long-term interest rates. Do you see trade tensions, global growth, and an election year impacting your market and the fund? And also, are there any other risks that you're watching currently?
Yeah, I mean, all of these can have an impact, but really haven't had too much of an impact. I think, you know, what we're kind of looking at here, overall spreads, credit quality, where that's going, that's kind of what we're keeping an eye on. But most of all of those that you mentioned, Matt, you know, the election really is probably the most impactful, as munis are sensitive to taxes and tax rates. So, you know, credit spreads to a lesser degree, higher credit quality of the portfolio really is, you know, taking care of a lot of that. So I think a lot of it is kind of that tax reform. You know, will that stay? Will that go away? If in 2020 you see a different administration coming into the White House, how does that impact taxes? And I think from that standpoint, that's where folks are going to be, you know, looking, and that's certainly something we're keeping a watchful eye on.
Let's talk about pensions. Last year, Barron's called the estimated $1 trillion in unfunded pension liabilities the ticking time bomb in the municipal bond market. Can you give us an update on the pension situation and what the legislature has done to address Rhode Island liabilities?
Sure. I mean, certainly we have liabilities. They continue. And while the percent funded doesn't appear to have moved very much, the interest rate used has actually come down. And so what ends up happening, you know, the current governor, when she was general treasurer, had some pension reform, and that actually brought the rate down. I think it was at 8.25% down to about 7.5%. Currently, the current general treasurer has actually decreased that rate to 7%, which, again, I think is going in the right direction. It's more realistic. It does push, you know, the number up, the unfunded pension number up. But I think it's more realistic from a standpoint of return expectations. You know, clearly, you know, the lower that number, the larger the difference, the larger the unfunded pension liability. But from the standpoint of returns, long-term returns, particularly given the environment we've had, certainly a little more realistic. So from that standpoint, you know, that rate has, the percentage has stayed about the same, but the rates come down. So actually, if you had the old 7.5% rate, your unfunded pension liability actually would be less. You'd have a higher percentage of it being funded. You know, returns certainly have been better over the past 2 years relative to the benchmark and to other states. So I think that's been beneficial as well. I will say the local cities and towns are meeting 100% of their annual retirement contributions or their ARC payments. And I think part of that is, you know, the little better fiscal stability and also, you know, commitment to making sure that those payments are made and being there to fund those liabilities when they come due.
On the retirement side, we're seeing a large demographic shift with baby boomers moving into retirement. Do you see the shift changing municipal demand and the fixed income market in general?
Yeah, we have seen this impact firsthand. And overall, bond demand, even though rates have remained low, again, with the equity markets being so solid in returns, you have seen pension funds and others rebalancing as part of that process. So kind of trimming, you know, taking care of some of the winners, reinvesting in fixed income. So you're still seeing that As retirees' preferences shift, you know, there may be more demand, expected more demand for fixed income, desired, albeit where we are now at lower rates. But folks certainly are looking at that and looking at their overall allocations. Again, as folks retire, you know, people are in general living longer, so they do need some allocation to equity in addition to fixed income, you know, if you're living an additional 20, 30, in some cases almost 40 years after retirement.
Good info, Jeff. As we wrap up, can you give us an overview of how the fund is positioned as we enter the new year?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we're still very well diversified. Again, it is a single state fund, but we are well diversified within the state. Always ready to add new issues. You know, we certainly have flexibility to swap bonds to pick up yield as the yield curve shifts. And certainly duration is a little bit above that of the benchmark, but that allows for natural duration shortening of the portfolio. And, you know, we do have plenty of liquidity should we need to take advantage of a steepening yield curve, or if there's some issue that comes out, either that we don't own in the portfolio or that looks attractive, you know, we have that flexibility and opportunity to add to the portfolio.
Thanks for your time today, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Before investing in the fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit aquilafunds.com or call 800-437-1020. Information regarding holdings is subject to change and is not necessarily representative of the entire portfolio. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in credit quality of the issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of funds with greater geographic diversification. The fund seeks to provide as high a level of income exempt from state and federal income tax as is consistent with capital preservation. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax, referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, highest, to D, lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the ratings they assign to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued for the purpose of retiring or redeeming an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration also takes into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is the difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net investment income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income in excess of an applicable threshold amount. The acronym PERS, P-E-R-S, stands for Public Employee Retirement System. The acronym PERA, P-E-R-A, stands for Public Employees Retirement Association.